What are today's local SEO ranking factors? They are changing regularly, and we have some surprises. We're talking local SEO with Darren Shaw today on The Edge. Go!
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests.
Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics.
This week's featured guest is Darren Shaw, founder and president at WhiteSpark. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks of Site Strategics. Every week, we bring you amazing guests to chat about digital marketing topics and trends. We unpack a key marketing topic for our digital marketing audience. So whether you're part of an agency, freelancer, or part of a firm, this show is for you. Be sure to check out all the recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. Our title sponsor of the show is Site Strategics. We're pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. We have core specialties of SEO, search engine marketing, social media and management, conversion rate optimization, local SEO management, and marketing as well. All focus on the omni-channel digital marketing front. So we're results-based marketing that actually works. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a shout over at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. Just want to let you know who will be coming up here on the show in the next few episodes. I think we've got Eli Schwartz coming up soon. Hey, be sure to check out some of our recent shows. Christina Azarenka, Olga Zarzhesna, and Victor Zitromisky. If you're interested in being part of the show, just drop us a line on our email, info@edgeofthewebradio.com. Make sure you set your reminders on YouTube to get notified when we post those videos. On top of that, join the newsletter, Edge Talk. If you actually want to join our newsletter free of charge, just text to the number 228-28, the word Edge Talk. You can join right there. You can also go over to the website and put your email in right at the top of the site. It's free of charge. Obviously, we're not using it for anything but sending you news about each and every show, as well as some insights that we have. Simply sign up for the newsletter over at edgeofthewebradio.com. Make sure you check out our weekly news podcast as well, covering all the most recent digital marketing news and Google updates. We're dropping it every Tuesday to help you navigate the week in digital marketing with our continued guest host on the news, Morty Oberstein. So with all that aside, let's turn around and meet this week's industry expert guest. It was back in 2016 when Darren was last on the show, and I wasn't even here to be able to interview him. So it's been a long time. That was show 186. Let me introduce you to Darren. Darren Shaw founded WhiteSpark in 2005 as a web design and development company. However, his passion and curiosity for all things local search led to a shift in focus as early as 2010. Ultimately, that's what the company is doing today. So these days, WhiteSpark specializes in local search software and services and is one of the most respected and cited in the industry. And Darren's been working on the web for over 19 years and loves everything about local SEO. Who doesn't, right? He leads research initiatives such as the Local Search Ranking Factors Survey and Local Search Ecosystem. He's also a regular contributor to search marketing publications and speaks at conferences around the globe, although locally, each and every time, right? Well, Darren, share with us what we don't know from that bio. How are you doing? Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. Let's see, you pretty much covered it. I don't know. That's the gist of it.
That's the entire Darren Shaw bio right there, huh?
Yeah, that's the bio. The company's grown a lot since 2016 as well. You know, definitely tripled employees, fantastic. tripled revenue, work with some major brands. So the company continues to grow, which is great, exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you're out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, yeah?
Yes, very, very north. Just like straight north of Montana, about a 14-hour drive.
Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. Yeah, it's great country up there, truly great country. I actually went up there on the border of Canada doing the Boundary Waters canoe trips several years back in 2016, and it's just incredible country. But you're a bit further north than that. So being up in Canada, you're helping out so many companies around the world as it comes to local optimization, because we understand where Google has been. They've grown to actually connect and understand all the different brands around the world, where they're locally based, and it's all to drive better results for consumers. They're wanting the local mashup, and It's not doing it without understanding that the consumers are continually wanting to interact and understand their local area. Give us a lowdown on what White Spark does for companies, large and small.
Sure. Yeah. So we have software and services for local search. We do citation work for sure. So business listings, we help you get listed on the most important sites. We'll clean up your listings. One of the main things that sets us apart from competition is that we just do it as a one-time thing. So you don't have to keep paying recurring fees. We have fantastic software, our local rank tracking software. We have a full agency side of the business where we do Google My Business optimization. Mm-hmm. We do website optimization, link building. So we have a full sort of SEO team as well that does SEO work for small businesses, small, medium, even enterprises. We have software for reputation management, getting reviews and monitoring reviews, responding to reviews. And then we also have what we're kind of put us on the map, our local citation finder software, which analyzes your business listings, your competitors' business listings, and then we'll show you the opportunities that you have based on what listings your competition has. So that's the gist of it. We have a number of different software and services, but anything to help you with ranking better in the local pack. That's what we're all about.
And it's a fantastic set of tools. In fact, one of the free tools that you guys offer out there is a local review tool where you can actually throw in your brand's address or even the brand, and it does a lookup on that brand and provides a shortened URL to fire a Google review immediately. I think it's a shortened URL, but immediately prompts the user who's logged into their Google account to be able to review that particular property. And that's invaluable. We've used it for almost a decade, I think. It's been around that long.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic tool. You also have a tool that generates like a flyer that you can even post in your local business to be able to do that. I think at some point in time, you had a QR code floating around there too, right?
So yeah, QR codes are back.
Oh, no, no, say it's not
they
so.
They really are. They're actually fantastic. We use them in our Google My Business management service for all of our clients.
Cool.
What we do is we print a little card, and it says, please leave us a review on Google. Mm-hmm. And it has a short link, but it also has the QR code. The QR code just goes to the short link. And it's because QR codes were the lamest back, I don't know, 5 years ago, because they weren't natively supported by the camera. You have to download an app to your phone in order to use a QR code.
Yep.
But now all the modern phones, you just point your camera at it and it goes directly to the URL. So it actually, they become quite valuable. So you give that card out. Let's say you are a home service business. You did some plumbing or furnace repair or whatever. And you'd be like, hey, we'd really appreciate your review on Google. Here's a little card to make it really easy. All you have to do is just point your camera at that little code and it'll take you right to leave us a review. They actually work pretty good. And so I used to make fun of QR codes. Now I'm a big believer in the value of them.
You know, there's a book on Amazon called QR Codes Kill Kittens. did you know that? Yeah, it was actually how to alienate customers, dishearten employees, and drive business into the ground.
That is funny. But, you know, that one example that I just gave you, it actually makes sense. You don't want to put a QR code on your truck. Like, no one's going to try and catch it as your truck drives by. But I think it actually makes sense in that one scenario.
You're absolutely right. On business cards, one thing. Billboards, not so much. So...
Yeah.
All right. So QR codes are back. So here, I want to dive into some stats regarding local search, and I want to welcome you to contribute into this space as well. Here's a few things that I have done some research on. I wanted to pull this together for marketers and business owners alike who are listening to this show. How important local search is. 97% of people learn more about a local company online than anywhere else. 46% of all Google searches are looking for local information. That's incredible. 72% of consumers did a local search before visiting a store within 5 miles. And 88% of searches are for local businesses on mobile devices, either call or visit the business in 24 hours. Now, I pulled some of these stats off of HubSpot, Safari Digital, and Bright Local. One of the key things that I was just stunned by, the near me mobile searches have increased by 136% compared to last year. These are phenomenal results here, and it's phenomenal to understand how important being able to look around and be able to see where businesses are and how to interact with businesses. Give me some additional factors of knowledge when it comes down to consumers' interaction in the local space. We're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor of the Edge of the Web podcast interview series. Site Strategics are pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are technical SEO, including Core Web Vitals, SEM, SMM, local SEO, conversion rate optimization, and great skills in website development. Results-based marketing that actually works. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a call at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932 or simply just find us online at sitestrategics.com.
So in some industries, Google drives upwards of 90% of all of their business. Wow. It's phenomenal. When you need something, like let's say you need emergency towing, you need emergency lock repair.
Yep.
You don't typically have a trusted company. You go to Google. Now you go to Google, you type in locksmith, you type in garage door repair. A lot of these home services, it is so critical to their business. If they rank in the three pack, it's a massive boon in business. Yep. If they rank on page two of the local results, it's no business.
Oh,
it's
my Lord. Like,
it has such a massive impact. And then the same thing in really lucrative spaces like personal injury attorney, right? How many people have a trusted personal injury attorney? It's this thing that you need. Mm-hmm. And where do you find a personal injury attorney? You go to Google. And that's really what drives so much business these days. That local pack is absolutely revolutionary for businesses when they get into it. And so investing the time to optimize for local search and getting that can absolutely transform a business. We've had clients that they started working with us. We got them into the pack. They've been in the pack for years and they've quintupled their business since like the early days when they didn't have any local search going to now, like a moving company has, you know, they now have 10 trucks and they have 40 employees now. Like they've revolutionized their business because they rank number one in that pack consistently and they get all the calls. And so it really has a huge impact on businesses when you can get that top pack.
That's fantastic. And there's some great stats, continued great stats, but I think just taking a moment and realizing what local search provided consumers during the pandemic, I really wanted to talk to you about any insight you'd have there, because I know that Google and its GMB listings really started to evolve based, and we actually did a report here just on the news side of our podcast about maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, where Google was actually showing vaccination status on employees. And the local search environment has really come to a level of assistance beyond transaction, but actually being integral in community health, right?
Yeah. And so there's this whole concept that Mike Blumenthal coined called Google is your new homepage. Mm-hmm. And that is true in so many senses. Like, when people do a branded search, they search for your company.
Yep.
That knowledge panel on the right-hand side has so much information about your business. And when COVID hit, Google was very quick to roll out features that allowed businesses to communicate their COVID precautions, what they're doing for cleanliness, whether or not masking is required, vaccination being required. All that stuff is right there. So many times you don't need to go to the business's website, and Google is providing businesses with basically everything that you need to know. You've got the reviews on there, you've got photos on there. Now with Google Posts, you can communicate updates and specials and all kinds of stuff. You can have products on there. And so a lot of times people don't need to go to your website. And so Google becomes super important. And the local search ecosystem, sort of with Google as the foundation of that, is really important for communicating all these public health measures and all that kind of stuff. And so it really, Google My Business is powering so much of online business right now.
It really is. And it's being more and more of utility to consumers, and Google's realizing its space there. What an incredible, like almost like a sacrosanct space where they're investing useful functionality, useful tools, and even getting into conversion now where forms are being tested and lead generation is being tested. The above the fold local space is that has always been coveted, but we're getting more value at the Google homepage, like you said, as opposed to how it's aggregating content for our own businesses. It's really being that more that utility, you know, Swiss Army knife of value there on the screen itself.
Yeah, there are people, or there's, I would say probably 70% of the businesses out there, they created their Google listing in 2015.
Yep.
And they haven't touched it since, and they are missing out because in that, in the past 6 years, whatever, ever since Google kind of divorced from Google Plus, Google has been rolling out a ton of incredible features on the Google My Business listing. And if your business is not taking advantage of them, you are losing out to your competition because now people don't need to go to your website to find out, you know, do they offer this service? What kind of reviews do they have? It's all on Google. And so people are evaluating what business they're going to call, which business they're going to hire, right in the Google search results. They don't go to your website. They don't have to, because everything they need to make a decision about which plumber to call, which, you know, drapery shop to call, whatever it is that they're searching for as a local business, it's all right there in Google. And so if you are one of those people that set up your Google listing and thought that you were done, you're not done. You need to get back in there. You need to take advantage of all the features. If there's a field in Google, you need to use it.
Yep.
If there is a feature, you need to use it, and you need to use it regularly.
We talked right before the show regarding the demise of Google Plus as a social media platform for Google, and we're seeing that Google My Business is now the business side of social that Google has offered up with Google Posts and all of the additional factors of communication and engagement that consumers can have, especially the messaging side of things. So there's a lot to unpack into the fields and the optimization. But first and foremost, I wanted to touch base on maybe some of the more difficult concepts or pieces of the local SEO terrain that maybe a business owner doesn't have time or hasn't understood. If they haven't done anything since 2015, you better believe the world has changed inside of GMB. Some of the things that are difficult for maybe the business person to navigate, NAP citations, trying to understand what name, address, and phone number citations really, why they're important, the presence of their Google listing, keywords being used in Google listing, sentiment of online reviews, even the number of check-ins at the locations. All these things can be relatively ethereal to that restaurant owner who's wanting to be able to get the foot traffic in the door. All these things maybe are a little bit outside of the common vernacular for a business owner. What are some of the first steps that you help a business owner understand when it comes down to the import of managing their GMB regularly?
Yeah, so there is a lot of stuff in Google itself to manage, and there's a lot of stuff in the broader realm of local search. Like, it's not just Google My Business. You've got your reviews to think about. You've got your website content to think about, your website optimization. You've got incoming links, you've got the citation. So it's a pretty big world of things. And as you mentioned, a small business owner is like, they're busy running their business. And so there's so much there for them to have to worry about, which is why you end up hiring someone to help you with this.
Right.
But, you know, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, 100% the first thing you need to do is get in there and look at your categories. The categories, the primary category in Google My Business, I think it might have been number one this year. Yeah, number one. It's the number one. So we haven't talked about it yet, but I run this yearly survey of the local search experts called the Local Search Ranking Factors, where I get the survey participants to sort, what do you think is driving search, local search, more than anything else, like in influencing your rankings? What is it that really makes you rank? And number one this year is the local search rank, is the primary category. The primary category is hands down the most important thing to get right. So if here's the great example. If you are a criminal defense lawyer or a personal injury lawyer, and your primary category on your Google listing is lawyer, you are shooting yourself in the foot really hard. And so you definitely should specialize your primary category to as closely match the keywords you want to rank for as possible. So if you're a personal injury lawyer, make sure that your primary category is personal injury lawyer, absolutely, not lawyer.
Absolutely. And those categories have been refined over the years. Back to the same thing is that if you set it up in 2015, there are so many new variations of service specialization inside of GMB, right?
And they're adding new categories every month. So Joy Hawkins over at Sterling Sky, they publish this great resource. They monitor new categories coming in, and they publish a resource talking about whatever new categories Google has added. And every month, there's a few new ones. And so if you go back to 2015, mm-hmm. there are so many new specializations and categories that have been added, you might not be taking advantage of them. And so it's really important to keep an eye on that and double check your primary categories. And then the second thing that you want to do is like a really quick win in local search is the additional categories. So any other services that are related to your business that there's a category for,
right.
adding those, it's like instantly telling Google, I'm now eligible to rank for this as well. And so you can cast a wider net, rank for more terms, drive more business. And so it's really important to fill out additional categories that are relevant to your business as well.
Very good. Very good. One of the things I wanted to, again, I believe the audience is probably going to be made of digital marketers that may very well be versed in a number of these concepts. But on top of that, also business owners who come across this show and they need to have a little bit of an additional baseline. One thing that is always a difficult challenge is understanding what citations are. Can you give us a yep. quick understanding of what citations are when it comes down to local search?
Yeah, so just before I tell what the citations are, I want to explain the three pillars of local search.
Yes.
Proximity, that's how close you are to the person searching, right? So it's one of the major pillars that will drive local search ranking. So businesses that are close to the person searching mm-hmm. have a tendency to rank better. Relevance, it's like, I'm looking for a tow truck driver, right? Or tow truck company. So if I type in tow truck company, they're going to look and say, is this business entity a tow truck company? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to return those ones. So that's just being relevant for the terms. And you do that through your categories, you do that through the content on your website, et cetera. And then the third pillar is prominence. So it's like, imagine that Google has just identified, here are the seven tow truck companies in your immediate proximity. And now they have to sort them. So how do they sort them? They sort them based off of prominence. And prominence is identified by how much information is there out on the internet about your business. And so that's like citations, which is a mention of your business. And that can be on blogs or local directories. Mm-hmm. And also links, any other websites that link to you, they impact your prominence. And so your prominence is this thing, like lots of the businesses can get relevant fairly quickly. There's lots of work you can do within relevance to improve your relevance and increase your rankings. But then prominence becomes super important because it might be very obvious to Google what your business is and what you do, mm-hmm. but the question that Google's trying to answer is, does anybody care? And the way they figure that out is with prominence, and citations play into that. And so a citation is a mention of your name, address, and phone number on another website.
Gotcha.
So that is the most classic example of a citation is a business listing on a directory like Yelp. Lots of businesses have a listing on Yelp. That's one citation. So that page on Yelp that lists your name, address, and phone number and other information about your business, that's a citation. Another one might be on yellowpages.com. So you've got another listing on that. These are like classic business directories.
Right.
So you, to optimize your prominence from the citation perspective, you should be listed on the top 30 to 50 general business directories. Yelp, Merchant Circle, Super Pages, Yellow Pages, et cetera. And then you should try and get any industry-specific citations. So get yourself listed on sites that are specific to your industry, like lawyerfind.com if you're a lawyer, or towtruckdirectory.com, that kind of thing. So you want to get listed on any of these sort of business-specific directories. And then local-specific directories are extremely valuable too. So if you have something like ChicagoBusinessList.com or DenverBusinesses.com. These are directories that are specific to a city.
Right.
Those are extremely valuable as well. And then you're done. You don't have to do any more citation work. A lot of a lot of people are signed up for something like Yext. We talked about that in a previous edition.
Yes, we did.
But you know, something like Yext, you pay month after month or year after year to have a subscription to have your listings on these sites. That is a concept that doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. Once your business listings are done, you shouldn't have to pay for them anymore. That's what we do at WhiteSpark. It's a one-time fee where we get your listings cleaned up and added to the important sites, and then you're done. You don't have to keep paying for it. And so that's the way I think people should think about citations. Just get listed on mm-hmm. the classic directories, any industry specific and city specific, and then be done with it. And you don't really have to dig any further than that with citations. Then you get into more.
Got it.
Yeah. So you're going to increase your prominence beyond directories with getting listed in the newspaper, having local bloggers link to you, doing any kind of local link building with other businesses that you partner with. Another great one is sponsorship links. So you could sponsor a local homeless shelter or a local theater group or any of these companies or organizations in your city that right. are looking for sponsors. You sponsor them, you get listed on their website, and you get a link. That's another way to increase your prominence.
Absolutely. That's a great explanation across the board here, and understanding that the baseline of citations has to be accomplished first. And then be able to find those competitive intersects where maybe some other competitive businesses have something that you don't. Your tool actually provides that. But yep. getting beyond the citations, because that all has to be cleaned up with consistency, right? But beyond
let me talk about consistency.
Go for it. All right.
So consistency is a bit of a myth in local SEO. And so a lot of people have this misconception because they read it on a blog post and it's this, every other blog post has been written since always talks about this importance of citation consistency.
Yeah.
And it was born from the early days of Google's local algorithm, where it was really important to match your name, address, and phone number on your listings.
Right.
Because if they weren't matched, then it was like, you wouldn't get credit for it, because Google's like, I don't know if this is the right business. It's not matching our database. And so you don't get credit for that citation. So it's like, you know, all these citations, you wouldn't get the benefit of them.
Okay.
That was then, this is now. Now Google's algorithm is much more intelligent. Mm-hmm. It can do partial matches. So let's say your business name isn't exactly how it is on all around the web, but it partially matches, like some aspects of the name are a partial match and it's got the same phone number. You get credit. Like Google says, there you go, this is a mention of that business. Or even if it has a completely different address, that's fine, because it can partially match. And the same thing with address. People used to go out of their minds trying to make sure that the suite number was in the right spot
everything
was perfectly matched. Those days are no more. You don't have to worry about citation consistency as a local search ranking factor anymore. Google is very smart at matching your business information, and you will get credit for all your listings and mentions out there, and they will apply to your prominence within the local search algorithm.
Fantastic, fantastic.
It's really important for people to know that, because the myth persists, and
yes,
people
does.
Spend money and they spend a lot of time agonizing over this concept of citation consistency, which, stop doing that.
It was a trigger word I gave as a bait. To double down on that, from an understanding that Google has, we're now in the space of entity SEO. It's beyond keyword SEO, beyond links, beyond citations. This is where Google is actually understanding and creating a knowledge graph of all the brands that are out there. And it's understanding the local references. And as you start to go beyond into this concentric circle, as you affect changes outside of those citations that you mentioned, going into and getting blog references from other companies that are locally known, right? This is the optimization space. Absolutely take care of everything that you possibly can inside of GMB and your citations, but go out and actually connect to other local businesses, contribute, be able to sponsor, be able to have a local orbit around other local entities that are known in this particular location. Now you're starting to tap into the knowledge graph power that Google has, and knowing that these two businesses are related by proximity, that basically builds up the value on both sides, right?
Yeah, that's some next level stuff. Like it is a work, right? So when you think about, you tell a small business, hey, you just got to connect with your local bloggers and local community. It's just like that, the mental leap to go and do that and try and outreach and create those relationships, it's just amount of work. And so I think there's, if you can do that 100%, you are going to dominate local search. That's going to be very helpful for you. This is kind of where sponsorships come in. It's like this, this backdoor, quick, easy way to get some of those local connections. But there's so much you can do to optimize rankings that doesn't necessarily mean that that level of work. You can definitely improve your reviews. Reviews have an incredible impact on how you rank in local results. Mm-hmm. So making sure you're asking every customer for a review, get those cards printed with the QR codes.
There you go.
Really, really work your review strategy. So every customer gets asked for a review, every customer gets a follow-up. You really, that will have a huge impact. And then another tip is when you ask for reviews, always ask them to mention the service that they had, because the keywords in reviews also impact your ability to rank as well. So when you say, hey, could you please do a review? Mm-hmm. They say yes. Be like, oh, and it'd be great if you mentioned that, you know, we did your furnace repair
you
fixed your toilet or whatever it was. So just trying to get those keywords in into the reviews is very helpful. Mm-hmm. Your website content, so many businesses fail at this. They've got a simple page where they don't really describe what they do in detail. Mm-hmm. All of that, like the more content you have on your pages, your service pages, your homepage, all of that stuff really has a positive impact. A lot of businesses still have a homepage title tag that says home. You're not going to rank very well with that. Your homepage, your title tags, so are very important for rankings. They really tell Google what this page is about. So you want to have keywords in the title tags.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things are, you know, low hanging fruit that you can get before you start trying to build relationships with all the local bloggers.
Okay. So maybe I jumped the shark a little bit here, but that is the orbit in which we want to be able to find ourselves and our clients, is to be able to have that type of connective semantic relationships there. But I'll back off and I'll pull back around to your survey here for a quick moment, because you have been doing a local search ranking factor survey for a number of years. Now, this comes from an annual survey that started with David Mim back in 2008, and you're continuing up to this day. So you're about to release, or by the time this podcast airs, you may have already released your results of the 2021 survey. You have a number of definitions and references in there that we implore our listeners to go have a look at, just to understand the kind of the ecosystem: Google My Business listing, landing pages, local pack, finder, service ads, and the like. We won't jump into that right now. However, I did want to ask you regarding these results, what are some of those? Well, first and foremost, who actually takes this survey? Can you kind of break down how this is delivered and who's contributing here?
Yeah, so this year I think we have 42 contributors, participants in the survey. These are people that are somewhat names in the local search industry. Mm-hmm. You see them active on Twitter. They're researching, they're doing local search work for clients. They're testing things, trying to understand what works, what doesn't work.
Got it.
They're often speaking at conferences. They write about local search on a lot of the SEO blogs and publications and whatnot. So they're the prominent people in local search that have caught my attention, that I see as thought leaders in this space. And so I survey all of them every year and I say, you know, what do you see driving local search? And so the survey asks them a number of questions and they have to sort specific factors. There's 122 factors and they have to select the top 20 factors that they think are most important and then put them in the order of importance. And when you get 40 of the best minds in local search to do that, and you aggregate the data, you kind of get this roadmap of what is the most important from top to bottom stuff to do in local search. And that's the real goal of it. And so the local search ranking factor survey kind of is the Bible of how to rank in local. What is it that drives rankings? And then what is the number one thing you should do? What's the number two thing? What's the number three thing? It basically creates your to-do list and roadmap.
That's fantastic. And we certainly want our listeners to go back to and check out the 2020 version as well and do compare and contrast, because there are some changes here. The 2020 GMB was by and large the biggest factor of value and contributing into local rank, followed by reviews, followed by on page, and then links. There's and you unpacked a lot of great explanation in the survey results. What are you finding as a surprise comparing 2021 to 2020, especially I'm assuming there's some pandemic references or some backdrop there, but what are you finding as a difference in this last year of everybody staying at home?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think that the pandemic itself had too much of an impact on the local search algorithm. So what drives local search rankings did not seem to be impacted too much by the pandemic. There certainly are changes every year, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's just changes in perception, mm-hmm. because we have to remember that this is a survey of opinion. It's not necessarily like,
sure.
It's not based on some methodology.
Exactly. It's 200 really point just, algorithm, what have you. Yeah.
It's just a survey of what these 40 some people think, right? This mm-hmm. is what I see in my practice of doing local search. You know, we did all these Google posts and they did not help rankings. We optimized our categories. We saw massive ranking boosts, right? So these kinds of things, like understanding what is having a positive impact and what's not, it's all just opinion. But there were a couple of things that are worth highlighting. One of the things that stood out to me this year was I noticed that over last year, we're seeing a decrease in the importance of proximity. Mm-hmm. Proximity used to be this sort of like, oh, Google, what the heck? It's like, I would do a search for painters, mm-hmm. plumbers, something like that. And I could tell in the search results that all of these businesses were within walking distance of me. And it's like, you know, I'm not really looking for the painter that's on the same street as me. I don't care about that. I want the best painter in the city. And so Google was overemphasizing proximity. Oh, and wow. So this year I noticed that the survey participants had dialed that back, which really triggered me to run some of my old classic searches. Because in 2017, I wrote a post on the Moz blog that said proximity was the number one local search ranking factor. And it was based off of conjecture and in my opinion, based off of what I was seeing in the results, that example of the painters being all within a mile. But now I'm seeing businesses from all over the city coming into the results, which is really wonderful to see, because I think Google was way overemphasizing proximity before. Mm-hmm. Now they've dialed that back. So you have to remember that the local search algorithm is always being changed. The engineers at Google are looking at results, right. analyzing whether or not they're useful for the users, and then fixing things when they see it. And so, you know, sometimes it's the local search community complaining about stuff, saying, this is lame, Google, you should fix this. And sometimes they listen. And so I do think that proximity has been dialed back a little bit, which is a good thing. You certainly still see it play a huge role, mm-hmm. but that was one of the big things that stuck out to me this year.
Fantastic. And we're all actually pretty happy about that, because back in 2019, there was the November algorithm update where proximity really trumped a lot of well-placed content optimization on sites. All of a sudden, everything kind of shifted on its head, and we didn't have those positions that we had been investing in for a while with structural content and the like. So you're seeing it shift back a bit. We're seeing a good deal more reviews and valuable insight from customers helping guide the algorithm back to a level of kind of quality as opposed to proximity. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's better for Google and better for users, yeah. right? So absolutely. when that Google's entire reason to be is to deliver the best possible search results. Like they want to be number one for that. And so they want to provide a good experience. If someone's searching for a local plumber, they don't want, you know, let's say the three plumbers that are closest to you or just happen to be the worst plumbers in the city and have terrible ratings.
Exactly.
So, putting too much emphasis on proximity means bad search results. And so that's where we see things get fixed. And so it's great to see that drop in the search in the local search ranking factors and other factors that actually do play a really critical role, like, you know, your primary category increasing. Another one that actually came up is the keywords in the business name. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I see Google making a positive change around proximity, But keywords in the business title, the actual name of your business, however you name your business on Google. So your business might be, you know, FMG Law. Maybe that's the name, your official name of your law firm. It's right. FMG Law. Now, if you are a personal injury law firm and you go to Google and you put in FMG Law, well, all right, you probably have a chance of ranking. You really want to take it to the next level? Make it FMG Law Personal Injury Lawyers Phoenix. Like, it is disturbing how much of an impact that will have on your rankings.
Wow.
Overnight. Overnight, you will go from position 17 to position 2 or 3. And it's just like, and like I said earlier, that can absolutely revolutionize a business in terms of leads being drawn. Now, that's not going to happen to you because every personal injury lawyer in the world already knows this and they've already done that.
Right.
And so now it's not this differentiator, but it's against Google's guidelines. But the question remains, why has Google not dialed that factor back?
Right, exactly.
It's really overweighted, and it's I think it's the number 2 ranking factor. Let me just double check. Yeah, number 2, keywords in the business title.
That's terrible.
It really is terrible. And all it does is it encourages spam. So it encourages people to go out and add keywords to their business name when it's not their official business name.
That goes back to the white pages whenever you name your company.
AAA pizza.
Exactly, just to get it at the front of the list. I mean, as much as we're relying on the algorithm being so evolved, that just seems to be all, like a legacy issue of not even paying attention to the fact that, you know, it's not about the name, it's about the service, it's about the quality of the service. And there's so many additional points of data that they can attribute quality to. Again, consumer reviews being one of them, but even the schema deployment that you can put on a website that helps granularize and communicate exactly the specifics of a particular site's service. Now, I know that's way into the optimization side of things, but there's so many different pieces that they could bank on as opposed to the bloody name of the company. Come on.
Yeah, it's way overly weighted. I have to, you know, it's easy to complain about them, but I think that there is a reason why it's difficult for them to fix this problem. And I think it's because of branded search. So if my actual business name is FMG Law Personal Injury Lawyers, and I type in personal injury lawyers, that whole partial matching that I talked about earlier, Google's really gotten much better at partial match. And so now they're like, oh, well, this business might be the exact one you're looking for. And so I think that it has to wait it a bit more in case that's the one you're looking for.
So it's almost like a double-edged sword, I see.
Yeah.
Got it.
Say it again.
It's almost like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I think it's really, so I think that if they dialed that one back, they break something over in branded search, but then keyword search gets overemphasized. And so it's a bit of a problem for them to solve. I hope that they're working on it because it is way overweighted. Now, the interesting thing that ends up happening here is that there's two things that have spawned because of keywords in the business name. One is a lot of businesses are actually changing their name. So we helped one of our clients with, they have over 35 locations. They recognized the benefit of those keywords in the business name and they did a complete rebrand. They renamed their whole business. They renamed their signs. They re-registered with all of the government entities. They updated their signage outside, their website. And then they went to Google and they changed all their listings. And it is unbelievable, especially when you aggregate it across 35 locations. Their rankings were like this, and then boom, through the roof, just like total hockey stick. And their business has absolutely blossomed because of it. And so, you know, that's one aspect of it where you can actually rebrand to get the benefits. If your business depends on local as much as many businesses do. And then the other thing is it spawned a whole new industry within local search of spam fighting. Because if you have a lot of competitors that are cheating their way into the results, you can report them.
Right.
And when you get them removed, your rankings go up.
They clear the lane, right.
This is a whole new thing that has grown up within local search, a sort of sub-industry of local SEO, where people are just spending a lot of time fighting spam, like reporting it, getting businesses suspended. And so if you are inclined to just go add those keywords to your business name, watch out, because you could get monitored and reported. Google's not really policing it, but your competitors are. And so you could get suspended. And if you get suspended, it's a painful road back to reinstatement. And then you get reinstated, you've kind of got a watch on you, and you got to keep your name as it actually is.
Got it. Well, good advice there from the local SEO Sherpa here. Be careful. I mean, if you're actually considering changing your name from an optimization standpoint, better have your ducks in a row and do it for the right reasons, not just from an optimization ploy. So we obviously want our listeners to be able to jump over and watch your results, have a look at and digest all of your survey analysis. We do want to get to local SEO myths as well as some top conversion factors in the next segment here. But final thoughts, what are your predictions on local SEO going into the remaining part of this year as well as 2022?
Yeah, I think that the core algorithm, what's going to help you rank better, it's not going to change too much. It's been relatively stable for a decade. The thing that is continuing to change, and this is the same prediction everyone makes every year, is more ads in the local results. So Google's trying to monetize their local results. In many industries, we have these things called the local services ads. And those are actually, we just saw last week, them coming into the local pack now, which is dangerous times.
Yeah, it is.
Imagine the whole pack becomes pay to play. That'd be great for Google. They'd make a fortune, but it's dangerous for all those people that are trying to just get the benefits without having to pay.
Right.
And then transactional stuff as well. Right now you can already do bookings. Mm-hmm. Like you can book, let's say, you know, your hair salon or massage therapy or anything that has kind of scheduling and booking, yoga classes, you can book those right within Google through partnerships that they have with booking engines. And so that's a transactional layer. Google gets a little cut of that every time. And they're now integrating products with See What's in Store, transactional stuff. So they want to get a cut of these sort of sales that are happening. And this is, of course, being heavily driven by the pandemic. And there's a great opportunity for Google to capitalize on, does my local shop have this product? Can I buy it right through Google? Look at that. Click, click, click. I bought it. It's getting delivered to my house. Well, now the company is getting paid. A local transaction happened, and Google found a way to make money off of that. Yep. All they had to do is just be a little bit of a middleman. And so they are definitely heading down that road. That's my prediction. More transactional and more advertising so that Google makes more money.
Yeah, they better be careful or they're going to alienate the consumer audience if they see everything at a paid level. We do thank you for your time today. We want to make sure our listeners understand where to find WhiteSpark. That's whitespark.ca, right?
.ca, yes.
Very good. Very good. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Fantastic. Make sure that you listen to the second part of the Darren Shaw interview by visiting edgeofthewebradio.com. Follow Darren on Facebook, Darren.Shaw, and LinkedIn, Darren Shaw WhiteSpark, and Twitter, Darren_Shaw. And follow us on Twitter at Edge Web Radio. Thanks to our sponsor, Site Strategics. Make sure you check out all the must-see videos and much more insider info over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. If you can't wait, we have the entire interview video on our YouTube channel. Just search Edge of the Web. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with others. So from all of us over at Edge, be safe, be well, and do not be a piece of cyber drift.